Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Everyone asks about like what I learned from that Super Bowl and everything, and I wish I could say there was some like easy answer that would have fixed us not blowing that lead, but you know, I go back and I'm hard on myself on everything, and I know the plays I wish I called differently, especially a second 11 pass once we got down there, and that led to a sack, so I wish I called a run there, but that was about it. You realize how when you're playing against good teams, good quarterbacks, that you can never relax, and no matter what situation I've been in since then.
Kyle Shanahan talking about an unforgettable experience, and not necessarily in a good way, how that's informing what he's doing to get his team ready now. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is face. Text face to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is face to 72881. A randomly selected nationwide entrant this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Eric Edholm covers the NFL and the NFL draft for Yahoo Sports. He is on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Eric, I asked this question earlier. Offensive-minded coaches, given idle time, tend to get a little squirrely, and they tend to get creative sometimes to a fault. Which of these coaches is more likely than the other to try to get cute?
Yeah, good question. I mean, right, I think that, you know, when you start self-scouting, you start thinking about all the cool plays you haven't used this season, or maybe, you know, busted out in week one and haven't used since then. I think it, you know, especially with two offensive-minded guys, I would guess, there have been some games over the years where, you know, Andy Reid has dumped like three or four of those plays all in one game, but they always seem to happen sometime around week 10. I never feel like, you know, his playoff losses have been because of those sorts of things. But I guess I would pick Shanahan in the sense that, you know, maybe he feels he just needs a little something extra in this game, you know, a little more offensive juice or something like that. So I would pick Shanahan, but I also don't think he's going to outsmart himself. I don't think it's going to get to the point where we're saying, oh my gosh, Kyle, what kind of game are you calling? Because that quote, look, if Devonta Freeman picks up that blitz, I mean, we're talking about the Falcons as champions. I thought the play call was fine, to be honest.
So I'm going to task you with two things here. Regardless of the side of the ball, I'm going to say that you have to identify a position group on the Chiefs that you would attack. And the same thing for the Niners, a position group there that you would attack, and how would you do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I guess I would say that there's if you're the Chiefs and you feel like maybe that interior offensive line for the 49ers, you know, like that could be one way to, A, just kind of clog the middle of the line. They use so much movement up front. Try to get some upfield push, try to really kind of mess up the timing of their blocking schemes. I would say, you know, now that the tackles are back healthy and they have sort of full strength at those spots, maybe the interior isn't as strong as, you know, as I would like to see on a Super Bowl unit. So for the Chiefs, I think it's going to be getting up in those A-gaps and really causing some pressure. You know, for the 49ers, I guess I would try to, you know, find some holes in that secondary. And it may come via, you know, Debo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, crossing routes. You know, we certainly know what Kittle can do after the catch. I would try to get some underneath stuff and then work in the double moves after that and see if you can, you know, spring a few big plays. I think they're going to throw the ball more than people, you know, I mean, we've only seen Garoppolo, I think, attempt 27 or 8 passes in 2 playoff games. I wouldn't be shocked if he surpasses that total in this game. I do not think this is going to be a 50 handoff kind of game for San Francisco.
Why?
Well, I just think that they've got plenty of stuff that they haven't used yet. It wasn't, in my mind, a case of Shanahan not trusting Garoppolo. I just think he sat there and saw this Packers defense and said, we're gaining 6-7 yards every single play. What's compelling me to throw the ball, right? It almost goes back, I guess, to that quote that you guys had at the top there, that little soundbite about, yeah, I wish I would have run it. I mean, it's the old sort of thinking of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What are we doing here? We got a lead. Let's run the football, and let's get us on that way. So in this game, I think they realized that there's only so much running of the football they can do, and that at some point, Jimmy's going to have to throw the football.
So, Eric, we've seen a whole bunch of numbers and talked about it this year as it regards the Bears, that you can run play action and still have effect with it, even if you're not running the ball a whole hell of a lot, or even if you're not running it all that well. You're in on that. There is a counterculture to that. Honestly, I'm not smart enough to know which way is one, which way is the other. I just wonder how you come down on it and how you might think that affects the Chiefs' ability to, I don't know, slow down some of the pass rush that the Niners are going to try and generate.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And you know, there are some numbers that really back up what you're saying about the play action. If you're down, you know, two scores with 8 minutes left, I don't think the defense is going to honor that, right? I mean, there are certain situations you can just throw out that I think are absolutely not going to play into that. But, you know, close games, first half, you know, make it look like the old Peyton Manning, you know, sort of stretch zone play and then pull it back and play action. That can be a really effective play. Or you can just do a really quick, you know, you assume the Niners are going to run the football on, you know, 2nd and 5 or something like that. That can be a glorious opportunity right when that safety comes sneaking down after a, you know, whether it's after a throw or after a run. I mean, they're going to try to figure out what you're doing in those situations, and just mixing up 2 or 3 key plays can be absolutely huge in those situations.
We had a really interesting time talking yesterday with Anthony Heron about how you combat this front seven of San Francisco with their speed and their size and their strength. And he just said you got to get them thinking and moving laterally. You have to make sure that they are aware of things side to side. And when you consider the basics of the Andy Reid offense, he's got plenty of stuff to be able to do that if he wants. Would you expect that's something they'd show early?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, they use so many concepts where, you know, the mesh routes and things like that, where they're you know, these are the things that have made college football what they are now. I think that, you know, you get those guys crossed up, you know, they're going to be sitting in zone, but at the same time, they're aggressive, you know, and they can kind of try to pounce on something going one way, and you have a throwback in the other direction. And, you know, I also think this relates to what we were talking about. I think I was on your show 2 weeks ago saying the Packers should move the pocket, get Aaron Rodgers outside the pocket. That's one way to do it too. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if that's one way you go after it. So, yeah, I just think that's a natural way to kind of get those guys off their pass rush lanes and out of their kind of normal thinking. It's what the Los Angeles Rams did in the rematch against the 49ers this year and had great success. You know, it's not like Jared Goff is some exceptional athlete. He's a pretty good athlete. You know, you can do plenty with that. And I think Mahomes obviously has been great inside the pocket, but you can also move him outside and have just as much success.
Eric, we were talking yesterday with Anthony Heron, and one of my favorite and most intriguing players in this game is Kyle Juszczyk, the San Francisco 49ers fullback. I don't know that my question about it is anything more than I love him and you should too kind of thing, but I just find it fascinating that the Niners offense runs as much through that guy in every position he plays as much as it does.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's just one of those players that, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, his value outweighs the statistics or something like that. But it really is true. We saw it with, like, James Devlin in New England. You know, obviously, you know, somebody who can split out wide, be in the slot, be in motion, be in the backfield as a lead blocker. You know, if you have to line him up as an inline tight end, you can do that too. So, yeah, just the number of spots he plays. And sometimes he's out there as kind of a man zone indicator too. And they'll, you know, they'll obviously send him out on pass routes. But when he goes out wide and a corner follows him, you pretty much know it's zone defense at that point. That's a great tip to your quarterback. So he's helping out on that play, even if he's just running kind of a dummy route or a clear out or something. So, you know, those guys, I used to always see it. I'm thinking, why is a fullback split out wide? And I asked the coach once, and they said, well, you know, if a linebacker is going to cover him in man defense, he's going to follow him out there. But if it's a corner, I don't think you normally would do that. That indicates that that corner is covering a part of the field, not a specific player.
I just wonder how much trickery there's going to be here, because I always ask this before Super Bowls, with all the time that you get and all the film you get to watch, whether or not coaches prefer that we're going to do what we do, or look at it in a more Belichickian fashion, that no matter what, I'm going to take away something that you want to do, and this is going to be a more tailored game plan to an opponent than it would otherwise be. And I don't know that there's really a right or wrong answer in how to balance those things out.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think you'd have to crack into the mind of Kyle Shanahan and ask him, you know, with a full dose of truth serum at your side, like, okay, Kyle, do you feel like you need to steal a possession, meaning going for it on fourth down, having a fake punt called, or, you know, something like that in one of those situations? Or do you feel like you can kind of play them straight up and don't need to take those measures? With the Chiefs, I would guess they probably come in with a little bit more of a straightforward approach. You know, you're always going to have, you know, a couple of 2-point plays at your disposal. You're always going to have the option to go onside kick, although that's been, you know, reduced in today's game a little bit. You know, so any type of those things. But as far as the game specific game plan, one of the things I admire about Andy Reid the most is that, you know, he finds weaknesses in your defense. Like, even in games he loses, you can always see, especially in the first quarter of those games, you'll notice somewhere in those first 15 plays, my colleague Therese Paylor just wrote about this too, where three or four of those plays are not only attacking your weaknesses, but also setting you up for something later. Yep. Showing you one thing, and then they're going to come back to it with something different later. I love that about them.
Eric, 10 words or less. Pick it.
I'm going 49ers in a close one. I think if the Niners can hold the Chiefs to a couple of field goals, really clamp down in the red zone, maybe grab one interception. I just feel like they're going to win it. I was Chiefs all week. Now I'm kind of shifting over to the Niners. I'll say 28-27.
Fair enough. Eric,
there it is. Home.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Eric.
It wasn't 10 words. I did my best.
No, I took the over anyway.
Yeah, right. I know. We had a bet on that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.